Greetings in Jesus' name.
Greetings
to everybody. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good to see everybody here. Amen. It's a beautiful morning.
Yes.
The Lord has given us. Good to be in the house of God again. We'll go ahead and we'll get started. Good folks coming in, but we'll get started. Let's pray for. Amen. The needs. Pray for my wife, for Sister Betty. Pray for Sister Cora. Amen. And all those who are afflicted in their bodies, going through whatever it is. I know a lot of you are over the flu and things like that, but I understand that there's little bit of cold symptoms, coughs, and sore throats that are still circulating. So let's pray for that. Let's pray for God to put His hand upon us. And then was asked to pray for the Plenty Horse family today. Praise God. There's some people that we know that are relatives, and we spoke to some yesterday and asked if we could lift up the Plenty Horse family. I don't know if any of you are aware of what's happened, but pray for them. For God to comfort them, console them in their time of need right now and their loss. So besides everything else that we are praying for and who we are praying for, let's lift them up in prayer this morning. So let's go to the Lord right now. Father, we thank you for this opportunity again that you have given us, Lord, to be in this place. So Father, Lord, as you look down upon us, Lord, and you see every heart, Lord, every soul that is in this place. God, your word says that you know every hair upon our head. We thank you, Father, for, amen, your goodness, your mercy, your grace, Lord, for, amen, your faithfulness to us. We ask that you administer, Lord, in a special way. God, to your people, Lord, in this place. To all those, Lord, that we are, amen, carrying, O Father, in our hearts. We
all
Lord,
upon us again,
O
God, in Jesus' name.
We pray for those, Lord, who are afflicted in their bodies.
Put your hand upon each and
sickness,
every one,
Lord.
O God.
We pray for your
Let
healing
your
touch,
spirit,
God.
Lord,
we pray
touch
that you administer,
God,
that you, O God, would deliver,
and
that you would make whole, Father.
That your healing virtue,
Amen, Lord. We pray for those
bodies,
who are going through
Lord.
Adversity,
in
Lord.
Jesus' name,
trials,
O
God. Amen. We pray that you administer, Lord, that you, O God, would, amen, bring salvation, O Lord.
Lord,
and
have your
way. Father, thank you for them, Lord.
And
we also lift up the Plenty Horse family, God. You know the
name.
We pray that you administer to them, Lord, the family. God, that you would bring comfort, Lord, that you would console. God, that you,
Lord,
Lord,
lift them up in a mighty
way, your
my
presence,
Lord.
God.
In Jesus'
amen, Lord.
Name,
in Jesus' name, Lord, and for all those, God, amen, Lord, who are absent, Lord, from this place, oh God, we pray, God, you know the need.
Hallelujah.
We pray that you administer unto them, God. Lord, lead them, oh Father, by your Spirit. Help them, Lord.
Give them the
amen,
comfort,
Lord, that
Lord,
they can be encouraged,
the strength, Lord,
that they can be lifted up
in
you, O God.
Jesus name,
amen,
God.
Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, in our presence here, Lord, today,
yes.
In this place, O God, to hear your word, we pray that our ears will be open, God,
yes,
and that we may hear, and our eyes that we may see,
name,
in our hearts, Lord, that we can be converted
Lord,
unto you, minister to the needs that are represented by every individual, Lord, our households, our families, and God, especially this work, Lord, in the ministry. God, we pray that you would continue to bless us, O Father. Help
we
us, O Lord, that we can be strengthened, Lord, in you, O God, that we, O Father, can walk, Lord, in your Spirit, Lord, and that we can experience, amen, Lord, that new life, O Lord, that you have promised us, O God.
And
we pray, Lord, for your word, God, that have free course in this place, O Lord, and you have accomplished what you sent it forth to do, Father. Let that be done, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. We pray, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you very much. Thanks, everybody.
Hallelujah.
Thank you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So you can be dismissed to your, amen, your classes and Sunday school classes, and those of you that remain in here can remain in here. Praise God. Good to see everybody.
Hallelujah.
I want to ask Brother Dan to go ahead and come on up and just take his liberty this morning as he ministers to us.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
I give honor to my pastor. I got the best pastor in the whole world.
Amen.
One who really loves the truth. And I'll tell you what, it's the truth that makes us free.
Amen. Yeah.
How many of you are free today?
Amen.
All right. Thank you, Jesus.
It's nothing like it, man. Nothing like it at all. It's humbling. It's scary being up here. Because you know you're accountable for everything you say.
Yeah.
And so, in studying this, it's funny how the Lord put this on my heart, and it's like, what I'm going to call this lesson is with a perfect heart, willingly offer. So I'm going to talk about something that no one likes to hear anyone talk about. It's called money. So that's what I'm going to talk about this morning. So how many of you realize that faith and prayer, there's only 500 times in God's word that's even talked about or mentioned. But with money and treasure and possessions, over 2,350 times that's talked about in the Bible. Isn't that something?
Yeah.
So why do you think that would be talked about so much in the Bible? Well, like it all turned to Ecclesiastes 10:19. I'm going to go through a bunch of scriptures here because I want you to make sure that talking about money, I don't want you to think that it's me personally talking about money, but understand this, it's God's word that's talking about money. So that's why we're going to read a lot of scripture. So it won't be what I say, it'll be what God's word says.
Amen.
So Ecclesiastes 10:19. Y'all there?
Yeah.
Amen.
It says, "A feast is made for laughter, and wine maketh merry, but money answereth all things." That's why it's talked about in the Bible over 2,000 times. Because money is a thing that we as humans, we always hold on to our possessions.
Yep.
And we have in our mind that it belongs to us. Mm-hmm. It does not belong to you.
Amen.
All the money you receive is from God. Yeah. God owns every penny on the face of the earth.
Yes.
He owns it. We don't own it. Mm-hmm. Pastor's been teaching about stewardship. We're supposed to be stewards of what we're given.
Yeah.
So that money is given to us to do something with.
Yeah.
So here we go. Let's read some scripture here. Let's go to Proverbs 3. Boy, I got a lot to cover here, boy. I should do a sword drill. Proverbs 3, verses 9 and 10, it says this. Honor the Lord with thy substance, and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. So when it says there, the first fruits of all thine increase. Mm-hmm. So does that mean just money?
Nope.
That means everything that's given to us every day. Your time. We talk about this a lot. How many of you tithe your time? Mm-hmm. Imagine if you spent 2.5 hours praying, reading God's word, doing things for the Lord. How do you think that would have an effect on your life?
That's right.
Right.
Think about that. Wow. As Pastor would say, think about that.
Yeah.
So I want to get into some things here. Let's go to Deuteronomy. You're going to be going all over the Bible. You're going to know your Bible really good now here after Sunday school. Deuteronomy. We're going to go to chapter 8. I'm not used to having a microphone in my hand when I'm doing this. Okay, we're going to just read a few verses here. Verse 1, it says, "All the commandments which I command thee this day shall you observe to do, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers." So you can partake of that promise that he's promised you.
Yeah.
Verse 11, "Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I command thee this day." Yep. And then I want you to go down to verse 17. "And thou shalt say in thine heart, my power and the might of mine hand hath gotten me this wealth. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day. Amen. And it shall be, if thou do at all forget the Lord thy God, and walk after other gods, and serve them, and worship them, I testify against you this day that you shall surely perish. As the nations which the Lord destroyeth before your face, so shall ye perish, because you would not be obedient unto the voice of the Lord your God." That's pretty powerful, isn't it? Wow, that's pretty direct. But it's something how it says here, "and walk after other gods and serve them and worship them." I think about that. This world is full of gods.
Yes.
You hold one in your hand.
Yeah.
That's a god. It was funny. Dina shared something with me yesterday, and someone said, "Man, I want to know, what was it like living in the 90s? First thing they said, "Well, hand me your cell phone." You get it?
Yeah.
We didn't have cell phones in the 90s. That wasn't that long ago.
That's right.
But now this whole world revolves around the cell phone.
Yeah. Yeah.
Can't do anything without it. And that's what this world wants.
Yeah.
Whether you realize it or not, that's what this world wants. That's just one god. But then there's entertainment, there's hobbies, there's leisure. Yeah. There's nothing wrong with enjoying things and everything like that, but it's like when it becomes your priority, it becomes your god. So there's only one god. And there's only one god that can deliver us, that can not only take care of our life but even takes care of our soul. That's the only one, Jesus Christ. So why waste your time with any of the other gods? Why waste your time? Okay, let's go on here. Proverbs chapter 22. You know, it's something when I think about, I think about a lot now that I'm older. But you think about how, I thought about this, I go, why is it the older people seem drawn closer to God than they, you know, why is that and the younger people don't? And I thought about that and I said, it's because the older people realize that all the time they wasted when they were young was for nothing.
Yeah.
And the only thing that really matters is the Lord.
Amen. Wow.
That's why. Because believe me, nothing else works in this world.
Yeah.
When I think of all the things that all the experts claimed, how many of them come to pass? Not a single one. Wow. When I was in high school, they said we were going into an ice age. Serious, folks. It was all over the magazines and newspapers. What are we going to do? Everything's going to cool down. We're not going to be able to grow anything. What are we going to do? Well, they got that wrong, didn't they?
Yeah.
So then not even 10 years later, oh, the earth is going to burn up. Yeah. Oh, what are we going to do? Wow. The experts. Yeah. The little G-O-Ds.
Yeah.
Don't listen to them.
Yeah.
Stick to this. This hasn't changed since it was written. Stick with this. This is the truth. Okay, Proverbs 22. We're going to read just a few verses out of this chapter. Starting with verse 1. A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold. The rich and poor meet together. The Lord is the maker of them all. Doesn't matter whether you have money or not, God's made them all.
Yeah.
In Proverbs 13, 7 and 8, if you want to just get over, skip over there really quick. It says this, there is that maketh himself rich, yet hath nothing. There is that maketh himself poor, yet hath great riches. Amen.
Yeah.
The ransom of a man's life are his riches, but the poor heareth not rebuke. Wow. Yeah. That's something when you think about that. I know a lot of wealthy people, and I haven't met a single one of them that are happy. They have so much money, they don't know what to spend it on. Seriously, the stuff they spend the money on is just, it's ridiculous. And they're not happy. And yet I've met people that you would consider were poor, and they have the sweetest contentment. They're happy. They have everything that they need.
Yeah.
And I go, wow, isn't that something? That also applies spiritually.
Yeah.
Okay? If we stop being so self-righteous and we humble ourselves, woo, that's when you become wealthy.
Yeah.
Yep.
But boy, when we get so righteous, then we become poor.
Yeah.
Isn't that something?
Yeah.
Same thing. Same parallel. Okay, back to Proverbs 22. I should have told you to keep your finger there. Verse number 7. It says, the rich ruleth over the poor, and the borrower is servitude to the lender. So I'm going to say this. This is just me, personal experience. I went bankrupt. Okay? And this is why I went bankrupt. It's called debt. Now I'm going to say this, and if I offend anybody, well then be offended. But what I'm telling you is the truth. Debt is a surefire way to be bound.
That's right.
If you're not in debt, you are not bound. Being in debt is not what God wants you to be.
Yes. Amen.
Now I can say that, and I've learned that the hard way. I want to just share something with you about what it means. How do I say this? It makes more sense to be patient and delay your gratification.
Yes.
Because if you do that, you're going to be freer in the end.
Yes.
Amen.
But it takes patience. Yeah. This is what I mean. How many of you have ever bought a car in cash? Okay? Now I'm going to say this. That's the right way to buy a car.
Amen.
To borrow money to buy a car. Now this is from, you won't find a wealthy man out there that borrows money to buy a car. A car is the fastest way to lose your shirt.
Yeah.
Yep.
Boy. Right. It's really quiet. I'm saying this all because I learned this the hard way, folks. Okay, I learned this all the hard way. I'm going to give you an example so you get an idea, just so you understand what I mean. Let's say you bought a car for $10,000 at 6% interest, which is really good right now.
Yeah.
And you paid on it for 48 months, your payment would be $235 a month. The total of those payments would come to $11,273, of which the bank got $1,273 because you couldn't wait. That's why, okay? So in 48 months, if you take the loan, guess how much your vehicle's worth now after 4 years? It's only worth $5,800. So you lost $5,473. See what I mean?
Yeah.
See, when you look at the numbers, it's like, man, that's crazy.
Yeah.
Why would I spend $11,273 for something that's only worth $5,800? Mm-hmm. So that's just an example.
Yeah.
I love talking about money. I just love it. Anyway, I don't love money, but I love what money can do, and I love what money doesn't do.
Yeah.
So, all right. So we got to manage our money. We got to be patient. You got to have a budget. You got to plan the way you spend money.
Yeah.
You are not, when I think about when I was younger and everything, we used to go out to eat all the time. Don't get me wrong, I don't know. Every time you go out to eat, man, you might as well just be throwing your money in the world. Just throw it away. It's so foolish when you think about it. I went and bought, it was Winston's birthday. I says, I'm going to go get Winston a birthday present. So I'm going to go to Burger King, and I'm going to buy 2 double cheeseburgers. He loves them. You know what 2 double cheeseburgers cost at Burger King? $7.80.
Yeah.
I'm going. You know what you could buy in a grocery store for $7.80? Wow. Isn't that something? So think about that. Literally, it's just you're throwing money away. Nothing wrong with going out to eat or anything.
Yeah.
Dean and I do it, I don't know, once a month or a few weeks or whatever. Our favorite place, La Juanita's. But man, don't make it a habit, because it's a surefire way to lose all your money.
Amen.
Okay, verse 9. It says, he that hath a bountiful eye shall be blessed, for he giveth of his bread to the poor. Now, that's a promise. He that hath a bountiful eye shall be blessed. Mm-hmm. Okay? So if you start getting the heart of a person that wants to give, not only give to the work of the Lord, but give to others when you see they have a need. Don't ever say, oh, Lord bless you, I hope you get what you need, when you had the means to help them out.
Amen.
Don't ever do that, because you just cursed yourself.
Yeah.
Amen.
That's what you just did. But you want to have that heart of being willing to help and to meet the needs of someone else. In Proverbs 3, keep your finger there in Proverbs 22. In Proverbs 3, 5 and 10, 5 through 10, sorry. It says this, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord, and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel, and marrow to thy bones. Honor the Lord with thy substance, and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. And that's the truth. I can say that because I've experienced that.
Amen.
Absolutely. And it gets addicting. I'll tell you what. You get into that giving heart and it's, by golly, it's addicting. It's all you think about.
Yeah.
Seriously, it's crazy. I mean, it's really something. Verse 13. It says, the slothful man saith, there's a lion without. I shall be slain in the streets.
Huh? Which one?
22, sorry.
22,
Proverbs,
13.
Proverbs 22, 13. The slothful man saith, there is a lion without. I shall be slain in the streets. So what does that mean? Someone that's full of excuses as to why you can't do something.
Yeah.
Amen.
That's what that means. You fear something that hasn't even happened.
Yeah.
Oh, my word, there was a mountain lion spotted in Vermilion. Oh, I don't want to go outside. Vermilion's a big town. You have no idea where that cat's at. So you can stay in your house and be scared. Or, it's a possibility you might step outside and there's a mountain lion.
Yeah.
The only way you're going to find out is if you step out the door.
Yeah.
Better to take a risk than to worry about it.
Yeah.
So we're full of excuses as to why we can't do something. But isn't it something? Every single time I've learned you do something in faith, the Lord always delivers.
Right.
Every single time.
Yeah. Yeah.
And sometimes it's at the very last minute.
Yeah.
Yeah. Amen.
He's testing your faith.
Yeah.
Remember, he owns all the money on the face of the earth.
Yeah.
He owns it all. Oh, man, that just got me. Thank you, Lord. My Bible. I know I shared this with you all once before, but I'm going to share it again to show you just how the Lord can move in someone's heart. Where is it here? Oh, I got to find it. It's one of my things that I've. It's a reminder. Why is this a big deal? Because the Lord opened up my eyes one day. Years ago, when I was struggling, when I wanted to be close to God, and I was having all kinds of money issues and everything, I went to a conference in Minneapolis. They took an offering. And I loved the way they did it. They had a big table in the front. So they said, we're going to take up an offering. And they went around these baskets. I don't know, there was probably 350 people there. Go around and collect the money, because what the offering was for was to pay for the conference. All the food, all the other stuff that went along with it. So they go around, they gather the money, and they counted it right there in front of everybody. That was so neat. And so the pastor over there, I think it was
Bishop Howell.
He says, is it enough? And they go, nope. Okay, we're going to take another offering. Go around and collect it again. Count it. Is there enough? They go, yep, there's enough. So I remember we were over there and we had hardly any money. And it's like, my word, how are we going to get home? So the Lord put on my heart, right? See, the first offering comes around, so you give an offering, okay? Second offering comes around, the Lord puts on my heart, oh, you just need to give it all. So I put the rest of it in the second offering. So then, okay, they have enough offering and everything, and the thought goes to my mind, how come people didn't give more the first time? They had the money. Why didn't they give? Good question, huh? So, this is what got me. This lady comes up to me, and she's very simple. It'd be somebody that you wouldn't give a whole lot of attention to or anything. And she gave me this. This was wadded up in a ball. wadded up in a ball.
Whoo!
She comes up to me. She said, "The Lord told me to give this to you. To give this to you. I thought it was a wad of paper." She was a very simple person. She's somebody that you wouldn't, honestly, you wouldn't take very serious. So I put that in my pocket and I didn't give it a thought. So I go back and I unwad it and it's a $1 million bill. Now this isn't real. This is fake. But to that lady, this was $1 million. Now this is why I'm so emotional. Why is it that we can't believe that God can take care of us? When he put on that lady's heart, which I never met, never knew her, she didn't know me. The Lord showed me, look what I can do to another person's heart. That struck me. I've never been the same since that day. Never been the same. I can't give God enough.
Amen.
Man, I'll tell you what. When I realized at my age, my days are numbered. Young people think, man, I got it made. Oh, I can't wait till tomorrow. You have no idea if tomorrow will ever come.
Amen.
That's reality.
Yeah.
We just read. Everything you prosper with, everything you get, had nothing to do with you.
That's right.
Has everything to do with God.
Yes.
God's the one that keeps you breathing. He's the one that keeps your blood pumping.
Yep.
He's the one that allows you to think.
Yep.
He gives you a free will.
Right.
We're the only creature on the face of the earth that has a free will.
Yeah.
Isn't that something?
Yes.
Wow. So why am I saying that? Don't take it for granted.
Right.
If he's worthy, then give to him.
Yeah. Yeah.
Give to him. And I'm not just saying money.
Yeah.
Your time.
Yes.
Your effort.
Yes.
Pray to him.
Yes.
Call out to him.
Yes.
Worship him.
Yes.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
He's worthy of it all.
Yes.
Not a single one of us would be here. Without his grace.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm allowing you to live another day.
Thank you, Jesus.
Man. You wonder why some people get real excited when they worship?
Yeah.
That's why.
Yeah.
That's why. Wow. Just a couple more verses here. Just a word of advice. This is wisdom. Verses 26 and 27 of 22 says this: "Be not thou one of them that strike hands, or of them that are sureties for debts. If thou hast nothing to pay, why should he take away thy bed from under thee?" So here's wisdom: do not cosign on a loan.
Amen. Amen.
Even if it's your baby,
oh,
don't do it.
Jesus.
Man, how come there's not more amens?
Amen.
I've never done it. It was drilled in my head not to do it. Because when you co-sign for that loan, that's your loan.
Yeah, that's right.
It's not
right.
Theirs.
Yeah.
The bank doesn't even care about them, believe it or not. They care more about you.
Yeah.
If anything goes wrong, they're coming after you.
Yeah. Right.
Not your baby.
Yeah.
All right. So now I want to get into a couple things. We had a good class here a couple weeks ago there in the foundation class on tithing. How many of you were there at that class on tithing?
Oh, yeah.
That was a good class, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Really good class. So tithing is, let's just let the scripture do the talking. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. It's funny, every time a pastor talks about money, immediately they think that he wants a raise. And it's not the truth. That's not a fact at all. That's not it at all. There are some out there that are that way.
Yeah.
Right.
The ones that have the private jets and the big mansions and the
mega churches.
Yes, the mega churches. I'd rather have an awesome church than a mega church.
Yeah.
Under the truth.
1 Corinthians 9. We're going to read a few verses here, and then I want to break it down a little bit here. It says this: Am I not an apostle? Am I not free? Have I not seen Jesus Christ our Lord? Are not ye my work in the Lord? If I be not an apostle unto others, yet doubtless I am to you. For the seal of mine apostleship are ye in the Lord. Mine answer to them that do examine me is this: Have we not power to eat and to drink? Have we not power to lead about a sister, a wife, as well as other apostles, and as brethren of the Lord, and in Cephas? Or I only, and Barnabas, have not we power to forbear working? Who goeth a warfare any time at his own charges? Who planteth a vineyard and eateth not the fruit thereof? Or who feedeth a flock and eateth not of the milk of the flock? Say I these things as a man? Or saith not the law the same also? For it is written in the law of Moses, Thou shalt not muzzle the mouth of the ox that treadeth out the corn. Doth God take care for oxen? Or saith he, Is it altogether for our sakes? For our sakes, no doubt, this is written, that he that ploweth should plow in hope, and that he that thresheth in hope should be partaker of his hope. If we have sown unto you spiritual things, is it a great thing if we shall reap your carnal things? So this is what that means, and I'm going to be talking about offerings more than tithing, but here's the bottom line, okay? We're commanded to tithe. It's not an option. It's a command. We've been studying so much in the Old Testament under the law and everything, but you see, that tithe is for the ministry, okay? It's for the pastor. So what this is saying is this: if he spends all the hours that he spends, he's on call 24/7. I'm not trying to put him on the spot or anything, but I'm trying to get you to all realize something. If he works 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, why shouldn't he be taken care of?
Amen.
Why shouldn't he be? You work for a paycheck.
Yeah.
So the whole purpose in the Old Testament, the Levites, none of them worked. Everyone else gave the tithes. What were the tithes for? The Levites. So what could they do? Focus on the Lord. They shouldn't have to worry whether or not they're going to have the money to pay the rent or get the food or anything else.
Amen.
That's our responsibility. That's the body's responsibility. So that tithe belongs to him. I shared, Mom Walker was here, she know exactly what I was talking about. This church out in California, they had over 1,500 people in that church. And their tithes and offerings every week were well over $100,000. So they actually had to have the police come and take them to the bank to deposit the money. So I want you to think about that for a second. So that's a big, big church, all right? Spirit-filled, Holy Ghost-filled. I thought about that. And so I said, okay, so if there's 1,500 people, everything like that, okay? So the tithes, listen to me, the tithes, they still belong to the pastor.
Amen.
So if that pastor was getting I'm just staying off the top of my head. If that pastor was getting $500,000-$600,000 a year, so be it.
Amen.
Because any pastor worth anything, he's not going to keep all that money. He isn't. Any pastor I know that way, that's not the way they are. They give, they give.
Yeah.
They tithe.
Yeah.
They do all the same things. So we should never think that us giving our tithes and everything, it's just so the pastor has more money. It's got nothing. Man, who do you fear more? What matters to you more? Your feelings or what God thinks?
Oh, amen.
My word. I think about that. How little our faith is. We can't let go of this. Oh, I want that new fishing rod. I'll get them next week. Next week comes, never happens. If you don't take care of something when it's supposed to be done, you'll never do it. Never do it. Don't doubt the Lord. Your tithe is your gross, not your net. That's a wow. Don't be a cheater.
Amen.
Amen.
Get the full blessing.
Amen.
Amen.
Okay, that's all I want to talk about tithing. But what I want to talk about is offerings. Okay. Let's turn to 1 Chronicles 29. Now, I got to tell you, when I first got saved, boy, did I struggle with giving tithes and offerings. Boy, did I struggle with it. We struggled with it.
Yeah.
Isn't it funny how there's always something you got to spend money on?
Yeah.
And boy, isn't it funny how when you start turning it around and start obeying God's word, man, those things you had to spend money on, there aren't so many anymore. And that's something. Not saying it disappears, it's just you have a different viewpoint on your money. And you know better than to do some of the things you do with your money, then you don't have a problem. So we're going to read this. All right. We're going to read 1 Chronicles 29. We're going to start at verse 1. It says, this is about when they're getting ready to build the temple. Solomon's temple. It says, furthermore, David the king said unto all the congregation, Solomon, my son, whom alone God hath chosen, is yet young and tender, and the work is great. For the palace is not for man, but for the Lord God. Now I have prepared with all my might for the house of my God the gold for the things to be made of gold, and the silver for the things of silver, and the brass for the things of brass, in the iron for the things of iron, and the wood for the things of wood, onyx stones and stones to be set, glistering stones of diverse colors, and all manner of precious stones and marble stones in abundance. Moreover, because I have set my affection to the house of my God, I have of my own proper good of gold and silver, which I have given to the house of my God over and above all that I have prepared for the holy house, even 3,000 talents of gold, of the gold of Ophir, and 7,000 talents of refined silver to overlay the walls of the house withal, the gold for things of gold, and the silver for the things of silver, and for all manner of work to be made by hands of artificers, and who then is willing to consecrate... Oh, my page turns in the middle of that line. I want to say this. Now, look, this line, read this line. It says, and who then is willing to consecrate his service this day unto the Lord? Then the chief of the fathers and princes of the tribes of Israel and the captains of thousands of hundreds, with the rulers of the king's work, offered willingly. and gave for the service of the house of God the gold 5,000 talents and 10,000 drams, of silver 10,000 talents, and of brass 18,000 talents, and 100,000 talents of iron. And they with whom precious stones were found gave them to the treasurer of the house of the Lord by the hand of Jehiel the Gershonite. Then the people rejoiced, for they had offered willingly, because with a perfect heart they offered willingly to the Lord. And David the king also rejoiced with great joy. So isn't that something? So everything that went into that temple was offered. Isn't that something? Willingly. With a perfect heart. And so what happened when they do that? Woo, everyone's happy. No one's depressed. Oh, I'm going to miss that money. No one's thinking about that. They're thinking about, oh man, you imagine what the house of God's going to be like? You imagine? Wow. This is how it was taught to Dean and I years ago about offerings. No offerings, no lights. I'll never forget that. We were in a room, so one switch shut all the lights off in the whole room. I'll never forget that. So it makes you realize, son, you know, how many of you love Indian tacos? How many of you love them burritos? That fried bread. So we have taco sales, burrito sales, and as much as I love tacos and burritos, but we don't need those sales. See, the reason we have those sales is to keep the lights on. It's to keep you cool in the summer, to keep you warm in the winter. So that's the only reason we have those sales. I thought about it, and as much as fun, man, every time I'm in one of those, I have so much fun. I enjoy it. It's an awesome time of fellowship and everything. But I said, wouldn't it be so neat to have a sale, because we wanted to have a sale, to raise money for something, like maybe go to Peak, you know, maybe go rent all the cabins there in, you know, in Oswego, so we can all go to Chautauqua. Wouldn't it be neat to do that? But instead, we do it to keep the lights on. Now, I have no doubt in my mind, that the funds to take care of this place is in this body. It's all here. So I'm gonna say some things, and if I don't want to offend anybody, I love every one of you. But the thing that I would love for everyone in here is to prosper. I want you to prosper, not be comfortable where you're at and the way you do things. But if you spend more at McDonald's than you put in the offering plate, you are not going to be blessed. Don't think for one second you're blessed. If you would rather pay your cable TV than give an offering, you're not going to be blessed. So it's like, it's all in the priorities. Oh, man, I'm running out of time. I want to get through some of these scriptures here. I'll stop jabbering and let's get to the word. Deuteronomy 16. You know, when there's over 2,300 verses that you can choose from, it's hard to narrow it down. Deuteronomy 16:17. It says here, every man shall give as he is able, according to the blessing of the Lord thy God, which hath given thee. Every man give as he is able to give. Remember, the widow's mite, which is insignificant. You find that on the in the driveway at Walmart. That's worth more to God than $1 million. Because if the heart behind that little amount of money is right, that's what matters to God. Because it's one thing to have a lot of money, okay, and it's something. If to whom much is given, much is required.
Yeah.
So that person, that widow that gave those mites, that's a whole message in itself. But that wealthy person could sacrifice just as much as she did and give an acceptable sacrifice. In other words, you know what? You know what's something about sacrifices? Sacrifices should hurt.
Yeah.
Right. That's why.
If they don't hurt, it's not a sacrifice.
Yeah.
You're just giving out of your abundance.
Yeah.
But a sacrifice is when you have a need and you realize, Lord, I'm going to take care of your needs. You take care of mine, and he always does. Sister Krause. I wish you all could have met Sister Krause. Crumpled up little old lady in a wheelchair. Never forget her. Full of the Holy Ghost. Man, she could out worship anybody. I'll tell you what, it was something to show you how much faith this lady had. The foundation of the original church up in Watertown, she paid for it with her social security checks. She'd get her social security check, sign it, and give it to the church. She said, the Lord will take care of me.
Wow.
He did. She come in and testify. She goes, oh, I asked the Lord, I needed a pair of shoes. She said, Lord, send me a new pair of shoes. And she goes, later that day, someone knocks on the door, and they brought me over 12 pairs of shoes. It was so cool listening to her testify about that. She go, Lord, I need some food. Boom. Somebody comes over, brings food. Wow. Listen to her testify about that. Talk about happy.
Yep.
It'd be in the middle of winter. We used to go pick her up at the nursing home, bring her to church. I remember that was one of our things when we were new in the Lord. And it'd be the middle of winter. She never wore gloves. And it's like, man, I can't. How come she doesn't wear gloves? You know what I think? Her hands were warm all the time. You know what that means when you have warm hands? You're not stressed out. Did you know that? You see, when you're stressed out, all your blood's moving around in your brain. You're stressed out. But when you're at peace, the blood gets into your hands, you have nice warm hands. So I can grab your hand and I can tell you if there's something on your mind. Isn't that something? Now no one's going to let me touch it. I'm running out of time here. I'm going to have to wrap this up here. Let's go to 1 Timothy 6:10. You can't outgive God.
Amen.
You can't outgive God. 1 Timothy 6:10, and we've all heard this. Let's start at verse 9. It says, but they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Well, I learned this the hard way, but it's crazy how many things you end up going through when you don't put the Lord first. When you put the Lord first, doesn't mean you're still going to go through things. That doesn't, don't misunderstand me. But But it's funny how when you don't give to the Lord, there's always some place your money ends up.
Yeah. Amen.
Right.
It's crazy how that it is. It's crazy how that is. But the love of money, we were talking about this in the foundation class. So the love of money, everyone thinks that, oh, if you're rich or something like that, oh, and they have all this stuff, oh, that's because they love money. No, that isn't what loving money is. Loving money is when your money gets sticky in your hands. That's the love of money. When you can't let it out of your hands. You say to yourself, it's mine, and I want this, and I want that, okay? You're loving your money. You're not, that's why it says, willingly offer, freely offer. But when you love money, it's like, oh, I can't let this out of my hand, you know? And it's like, so don't think for one second that if a person, the only rich people are the ones that love money. No, it's anybody can love money.
Yeah. That's right.
It's what you do with your money.
Right.
It's what you do with it. Okay, we're going to Malachi chapter 3. And I only got a few minutes here, so I just want to say this. When I was studying this and everything, and I was, you know, I thought about Malachi. You realize Malachi is the last book in the Old Testament.
Yeah.
It was the last scriptures that were written prior to Christ coming on the scene. So if you want some good reading, read the book of Malachi. Because if it doesn't parallel to this world right now, it blows my mind. The Lord's going to return real soon.
Yeah.
We are in the last days of the last days.
Yeah.
So it's like, please don't get wrapped up in your 401ks and your retirement plans. And don't get me wrong, you young people, but I guarantee you, you won't be retiring. Mm-hmm. Now I'm saying that, why? Because the Lord's going to return before that.
Yeah.
I have no doubt in my mind. No doubt in my mind. So in Malachi chapter 3, I was going to read the whole chapter, but I can't. There's not enough time. But what I want to drop down to is it's this. Let's go down to verse 6. We're just going to read a couple verses here. It says, "For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed." Wow. "Even from the days of your fathers, you have gone away from my ordinances and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But you say, wherein shall we return? Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation, bringing all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. Improve me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it." Amen. That's the truth. Because it may not be just, it may not be money, it may be health.
Mm-hmm.
It may be watching yourself come that close to getting killed in a car accident,
yeah,
you
yeah,
don't.
Yep.
That's God.
Yeah.
That's not
right.
Luck.
Jesus.
No such thing as luck.
No, Lord.
When we start looking at the Lord for who He is, when we start seeing ourselves for what we are, He's big.